Good evening, everybody. How we doing? This is louder than normal. I'm not sure how I like it. Kind of makes me feel like my dad too much. All right. Well, it's Thursday. We're here in Only Believe Ministries Christian Center. This is what we call the faith-filled crowd. Because you could be anywhere you want tonight. You decided to be here. It's going to be good. Obviously, my parents are still enjoying themselves in Hawaii, probably eating all the seafood my dad can, you know. He's got to find all the food he wants to find. But it's going to be a good night. We have a great message coming tonight. Hey, listen, I'm speaking by faith. We know it's got to be God. No, I'm just playing. Jason's bringing the word tonight. It's going to be really good. Offering is going to be really special. So special, in fact, that the man who's doing the offering didn't know he was doing until 5 minutes ago. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be filled and empowered. So we're just going to have a wonderful night filled with God. I'm going to pray. We're going to get started. Father God, I thank you for the service tonight, Lord God. I thank you that your hand is imprinted throughout this entire service, Lord God. That everything that we do tonight, Lord God, honors and glorifies you. And that it goes in the direction that you want it to. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Stand your feet tonight.
My weapon, my
God, we come before you tonight with praise and thanksgiving, God. We worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's sing that again.
To the altar.
Christ is risen. Come on, church, let's sing this out to Him. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Come on, the saving grace of Jesus is here. Oh, what a Savior.
Isn't He one?
y'all sitting back there during praise and worship, and me and Jason had the little joke going on before service. And what's funny about sometimes when you joke with people, God kind of opens your eyes to something. You know, I said the message was going to be powerful. Jason being Jason in a joking matter, knowing that it will be powerful, kind of gave me that, like, you know, I don't know about all that. But, you know, it got me thinking. How many times does God want us to do something? Or does God tell us we're going to do something and we kind of look at it like, I don't know. That's a little too much for me. And what's funny about that is it started making me think about how much that God has actually given us that we don't tap into. And we don't act ready for it. We act like we're caught off guard. Like I said before, offering's going to be done. And he kind of knew, but he didn't know. Then when I told him, I said, you know, you're supposed to do offering. He's like, oh, okay, I got it. Like, it's nothing. That's the attitude we should have no matter what we go into. Because that's what God expects out of us when we get put in situations, whether it's in season, out of season, whatever it is. God has given us the power to take care of whatever he puts in front of us, no matter when or what it is. So I just wanted to share that because God kind of put that on my heart, and it was cool for me. So hopefully it was for somebody. All right, the announcements. Intercessory prayer. How many of you were here last night? Okay. All right. I'm just going to assume that all of you had busy schedules and God was having you somewhere with family or whatever it is. No, if you have an opportunity, it's every Wednesday here at the church, 5 p.m. Now is an amazing time to start because we're going to get in the habit of doing it, and then the new building's going to get up, and we're already going to have that instilled, and it's just going to keep growing and get bigger. Imagine what God can do when we all get together and we all believe for the same things. So, all right, the third Saturday of the month is the men's breakfast, which is on the 19th. I like this crowd. This crowd's ready. Which is the 19th. It says the 20th on here, but it's the 19th. Make sure you're there, men. Listen, if you want to be held accountable for things that you've promised yourself or promised your wife or promised your family or even promised God that you're going to get done and you're going to take care of, make sure you're there. Make sure you're with men in this church. Because I tell you, when we talk about holding people accountable, they definitely hold you accountable. Believe me. All right. So then the third Sunday, Jameson, is a team night. Starts at 5:30. That is the 20th, buddy. Okay? I'm just making sure you understand me so we have it. All right. No, but if you have a teen and you want to bring them out, make sure you bring them out because we're going to have, yes, Jameson, 5:30 p.m. Not in the morning. I'm not getting here that early. Sorry. P.m. All right? Good? Okay. But if you have a teen and you want to bring them out, make sure you get them out. We have a good time. You get free pizza. So I know you're not going to say no. You have free food. All right. Don't worry. I'm not saying no either.
Possibly.
Well, that depends on your version of helping. Listen, we can't turn our heads and then there's two pieces left and none of the kids ate anything yet. Come on now. No, I'm just kidding.
Depending on who comes.
Women, on October 26th, you know, I'm half tempted to not announce this for the men because all it says is October 26th. I make up whatever I want. But it's a women's shopping day. She's watching right now. I saw it. She's watching. It's a women's shopping day. So if you, I don't have all the details.
Woo, so
I'm guessing by the time my parents come back, they'll have more details for you. And if you want to go, make sure you let my mom, obviously Holly and Linda, because they're really excited, which means they're going. Maybe. We'll see. Make sure you let one of them know so that way they get a count of who's all going. And Sunday it was said that all men should just fork up your wallets to your wife. That was one of those moments that makes me okay that I'm not married yet. So I don't have to do that. All right. And then the first Saturday in December, which is December 7th, the women are having a Christmas party. So there you go.
What is it?
A Christmas party. The 7th of December. I don't know why you want details. I'm talking to Amber. Amber's listening. Oh. Well. That's out of everybody's control. So, all right. So they're updating the church directory. If you got old information that doesn't apply to you anymore and you want to update it, or if you're not in it and you want to be in it, make sure that you get with my mom when she comes back or Kim Thomas. Give them the information you want to put on it, and they'll make sure it gets on it. All right? Cool. Okay. So without holding anything else up, we are going to have a man of God come up here with a powerful offering message. It's going to be wonderful. Chad, come on up. Okay, come on up here.
On September 17th, my husband had a stroke. Yeah, it was a pretty good one. It was a brain bleed. He's in St. Rita's. If you want to call or talk to him, get hold of me, and I'll let you have his information. He's doing really well. He's a fighter, and he's a very determined person. Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and pray for him. Would you want to do that, Chad? All right.
What's your husband's name?
Russ.
Okay. Heavenly Father God, we come before you right now, Father. The stroke that has happened, Father, whatever the outcome of that is, Father, right now, Father, I just bind that. We rebuke that, Father. We command your healing presence, Father, to be with him right now, Father. We loose the working of miracles in his body. We command healing and wholeness to take place as we speak right now, Father, and we expect your good report. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Offering. So I'm going to read Malachi 3:10 and on. And I know we hear this a lot, but I got to see this in action 2 Sundays ago, and it was incredible. So it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough for you to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Now, 2 Sundays ago, I just came to the first service, and then Liam and I spent some time together and went to a little dinosaur exhibit over in Lima. So on our way over there, I just had this image flash in my mind of stopping by a friend of mine's house at some point in that day, because he lives in that direction. And I kind of blew it off because that was silly, because I never go anywhere unannounced. It's just not something that I do. So we went to Lima, saw our little dinosaurs, and had some lunch and spent some time together. And on the way back, coming down 309, for the second time only in my life, I was arrested by the Lord, I will say. And he said, "Go to so-and-so's house." Not audibly, but just that heaviness. I knew he was weighing on me. He said, "Go to his house." And I was like, "You got to be kidding me." Because you know, Lord, I'm not going to go somewhere unannounced, right? So, you know, blowing God off like he's just another person. Stupid. So driving on down the road, and again, I go to his house. And I'm getting close to the turnoff where I need to turn, and I actually visualize not going to his house. I visualize getting home, getting Liam out of the car, and just, you know, it's early Sunday. I'm thinking family time, relax, and as I'm thinking about this, I get sick to my stomach. Just this nasty, yucky, sick to my stomach feeling. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to his house. So I turn, and the whole way there, I'm like, all right, Lord, this is odd, because I wouldn't go to somebody's house unannounced. So I pull down his road, and I see him out in the middle of the road, and he's got an extension cord, and there's some other guys standing around, and I'm like, okay, he's getting ready to do something he probably shouldn't be doing. So he's a very close friend of mine, like a brother, and I would do anything for him, but I wouldn't go to his house unannounced, obviously. So I pull up. I say, hey, what's going on? What are you up to? He's like, hey, what are you doing around here? And I was like, I think the Lord told me to stop by and see you. And he says, oh, I'm just getting ready to get up here on this roof, and my friend has no business on a roof. There are some things that would limit him from doing that safely, and he knows that, but he's stubborn like that as well, and he needed his roof done on his garage, detached garage. So I pulled the car over and got Liam out, and his wife was home, and I said, I'm going to tear that roof off completely for you. And he's like, yeah. And I said, yeah, I am. I said, that's exactly why I'm here. I said, and I told him how the Lord arrested me and brought me there. And what I didn't know is that morning in church, he goes to another church, he stood up and asked for prayer from his congregation and said, hey, I want you to keep me in your prayers because I am getting ready to do a roof, and I have no business being up there. So just keep me in your prayers that I would stay safe. My friend is a tither, and I got to see the devourer rebuked on his behalf from the other side. Amen. And it was incredible. It was incredible. To be able to be used like that for my friend, I'm telling you. I'm going to keep it together. It was amazing. I was able to tear the entire roof off and redo the entire roof for him 100%. He's got a new roof, and that's not about me. That's about the Lord just blessing him and rebuking the devourer on his behalf and keeping him safe. The first step I took onto the roof, my foot went through. It wasn't good. It was dangerous. It was a nasty job, and he didn't have to touch it. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to pray over the offering. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you for the opportunity to open that dimension of you that we otherwise would not be able to without the tithing covenant. Just as prayer is one dimension, we add fasting. It adds power to that dimension. Tithing is yet another dimension that adds power. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I ask that you bless those. Just bless everybody, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I forgot to let the kids go. So, kids, get on out of here and get to service. All right. Well, got the offering done. There's only one thing left to do tonight. Go ahead and let the man of the hour come up here and give his message.
Thank you, Philip. Thank you, guys. Hi, TV Land. Good morning, guys, or evening, I guess. Sorry, it's been a long day. Nothing like working 12 hours and having to stand up here in front of y'all, but honestly, I'm renewed. You wouldn't imagine it, but I truly am renewed. I don't know where to start, to be honest with you. Lord's been dealing with me on this. He's spoken to me several times about identity, and not identity theft. This is not a scam or anything, I promise. This identity is really important. So important that he gave me this message for, I think, 5 months now. Just kept hammering into me, different things happening along the way. And I have it in my heart to share it with you. If we stay over, I apologize, but I did, in fact, take a vacation day for tomorrow. So you got that. Just so you know, we're prepared. On top of that, I have several notes, so if it goes on, I'm sorry. If it goes short, I'm sorry. But what I have is what the Lord given me, okay? So let's be prepared. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the opportunity you give us. I thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for this wonderful church family and for the word that you've empowered me with. I pray and I ask you right now, Father, to fill my heart and use my mouth as your voice piece, Lord, that I may give your word to these men and women for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I do want to address the fact that, yes, I do look like Johnny Cash because I am an all black. But it was a happy accident, to be honest with you, because I am talking about identity. And the truth of it is I know who I am. Had it been a year ago, I wouldn't be wearing this jacket. I wouldn't because I wasn't comfortable in it. This wasn't my armor. This wasn't something that I felt like I needed to wear or that I looked good in, to be honest with you. I thought that I was, for lack of better words, too fat for it. But the truth of the matter is I feel comfortable in it. I look good in it. I don't care what you say. I look good in it. But so that's part of my identity, and that's nothing that you guys could have done for me. That's nothing that I could have done for myself had the Lord not spoken it to me. But so that's where I'm going to start tonight. I'm going to start with there's three different kinds of identity that we need to talk about tonight. The first one is, here's my title. In case you guys are taking notes. If you're not, I don't care. It's identity, who are you? All right, who is God? We first need to resolve who God is in us. Because if we don't, we'll never find out who we truly are. We'll never find out who we are intended to become or who we're intended to help. If that makes sense, you're on the right track. Because all these things are going to link together. If we don't know who God is, we don't know who we can help. We don't know who we can pray for. We don't even know how we can pray for him. But let's go to Matthew 16, verse 13. It's an oldie but a goodie. And it's fun because it's what Jesus said. So when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then they answered, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, some others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." And he saith unto him, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There is a revelation there that we all need to grasp. The revelation of who the Son of God is. Why the Son of God is. All right, the Son of God is the fulfillment of the law. Plain and simple. That we could take this entire book right here and sum it up in Jesus Christ being the fulfillment of the law. This is all speaking of who he is. So when we talk about Yahweh, when we talk about him, we have to talk about Jesus being him because they're two in one. They're the same. The Father is in the Son and the Son is in the Father. So you have to know who he is from back here to who Jesus is right here, because without that, you're going to lose who you are. I know because I have. I've lost me. I've lost me several times. Truthfully, I never really knew me until 2008 when I got saved. But even then, I had some struggles with who I was. But it was Christ who showed me each step of the way who I was. See, in order to know, I already told you that, in order to know who we are, we have to know who he is. Next is, who are you? This is some fun stuff because I've been recently told that I was narcissistic. Me, of all people. Narcissistic. Those of you that don't know what narcissism is, I'm going to give you the definition. Excessive preoccupation with or admiration of oneself. Okay, I might have some narcissistic tendencies. But the truth that I've discovered is that I'm not narcissistic. I know who I am. I know who I am because I know who I am in Christ. Amen. I know that I am powerful. I am mighty. I am funny. I'm handsome. I'm, dare I say, beautiful. Amen. Don't judge my hair, please. But it's true. I know who I am, so I can be bold in who I am. And it comes off as narcissistic to the world. The world will view me as narcissistic because they think that I'm on a power trip. They think that I want the authority. I want the ability to overshadow somebody and look down on them. The key factor of narcissism is the fact that they view other people as less than. And I'm sorry, but I don't view anybody as less than. As a matter of fact, I make myself of a lowly state so that I can view others greater than myself. I do my best at it. Trust me, I fail sometimes because, again, I know who I am. And it's a conflict. But it's a conflict that God's given me, and I love it because I still know that he is in control. He's teaching me. I'm teachable. Let's remember that. You have to be teachable. So, yes, I have narcissistic tendencies. You guys can judge because I don't care. I really don't. I'm just me. I'm doing the best that I can. See, these are some false identities that God's given me throughout my life. And some of these are pretty extreme, and I apologize for, I promise pastors, I'm not going to say anything unruly, but just know that they're hurtful things that I'm going to say. I was called fat, obviously. I'm a plump man. But more importantly, I was called worthless. Imagine that, calling somebody worthless, telling them that they'll never amount to anything in their lives. This was at a young age, and this was a teacher that told me this. Somebody that I was supposed to trust to take care of my best interest. Somebody that I thought was going to help me become a better person is telling me that I'm not going to amount to anything. I'm not good enough to be anything. And, man, that messes with you. That messes with your ego. That messes with your psychological well-being. And it stays with you for a long time. And truthfully, it wasn't until I did make that connection with God that I was able to say, no, I'm not. But then here's a kicker, okay? And this is something for all of us Christians, us good Christians, us bad Christians, all of us Christians. We sometimes fail to speak the right words to people. Because I've had a Christian tell me that I couldn't stand up here and talk to you guys today. Dead serious, that I could not preach the word of God unless I lost some weight. I promise you, these are words that have been spoken into my life. Now, that affected me. It affected me big time because I knew I was called. I knew I was supposed to be up here. Why would God call me if I can't get rid of this in my life? So that's a turmoil that was going on inside of me. So I got this person that's calling me worthless, never amount to anything because of my weight. And then I got this other person as a Christian that's telling me this. So these are some deep-seated scars that I had. Now, I can't tell you that I struggled with depression because I didn't. I'm too bubbly to be depressed. I'm too hyperactive. I'm too excited to be a depressed person. But I did hate people. I really did. I was that guy in the all dressed in all black with the shaved head, not like this. And trust me, I looked a lot worse. I'd keep my head down because I don't know who's familiar with it. Do not go out and search this song, but it's Strangers by the Doors. And he says in there, people are strange when you're a stranger. It couldn't get no stranger than me, I promise you. I know for a fact because Steve told me once, he said, I probably would have knocked you out if I'd have met you when we were teenagers. The truth of it is I was that kid in the back corner that people thought was probably going to shoot the school. I guarantee that it's not me, though. I never would have done that. I just didn't know how to fit in. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I could be. There was no potential that I knew I could have. I just knew that I liked me. You don't like me. I don't like you. So I hated people. That's messed up, man. I walk through a crowd of people and just say, I don't like you. Don't like you. Don't like you. Yeah, you're cool, but I still don't like you. And that's the truth of it. That's who I was, because all these things that formed me throughout my life, and these same things, maybe different, but these same things form each and every one of us. The things that are sown into us as our youth. And I'm going to say something to you guys right now, and this is really hard for me because this isn't a personal story of mine, but it's something that somebody recently told me, and it was an experience I had. So I can't give any names. It happened at work. This lady that I was in charge over, she says, she starts barking like a dog one day. And I just looked at her funny. And later on, I got a chance. I said, why were you barking like a dog? This lady told me, she said, because the other ladies told me that I was an animal. I said, I'll show you what an animal is. And I said, you're not an animal. You're more than an animal. And she was walking away when I said those words. She stopped dead in her tracks. She turned around and she looked me in her eyes with tears welling up. She said, you really think so? You really think so? Think of that. Somebody in her life had deprived her of the basic necessity of knowing one's worth, so much so that she didn't think she was better than an animal. She didn't think she was worthy to be called better than an animal. Now, I couldn't sit with that. I couldn't sit with that at all. Man, because God even tells us that we're greater than the sparrows. He said they may fall, but we're so much greater. He cares so much for us. He even numbers the hairs of your guys' heads. He stopped on mine. But he does. He loves us so much that even the 17 that I still have, he's counted. He knows which one's the 17th and which one's out of the place. But she didn't know that. And that's what really struck me, is that somebody can go their entire life not knowing. And she's still a young girl. She's still in her 20s. But still, she can go all the way to her 20s still thinking that she wasn't good enough, wasn't worthy to be called more than an animal. I had to sit on that. I had to stew on that because there's nothing I can do. Well, the Lord told me one day to ask her about it. So I did. I said, why do you think that you're less than an animal? She said, nobody's ever told me I was anything different. I said, you mean all your years, nobody's ever treated you well enough to think that you're better than a dog? No. So I did what the Lord put in my heart, and I wrote down a list of scriptures. And they're just scriptures that speak about who we are, about who God's, and I've got them all right here. So I'm going to get that to you guys here in a moment. But she was so baffled by it, so grateful for it, that even this evening, before I got to come here, this is how great God is, man. She comes up to me and she says, hey, I've been reading those scriptures. I've been really looking into it. Can you help me understand some things? And I said, absolutely. What do you want to know? All she really wanted to know is what the P.S. meant. I said, that's Psalms. J-E-R, that's Jeremiah. So I got to tell her some of that first. And I said, when you have more questions, please don't hesitate. Come talk to me. She said, can I really? Anytime. Anytime I'm down there on their floor, anytime, come up. I said, even if they want me to stop, I'll give you what you need. I'll tell you who Jesus is, and I'll tell you who you are. And she said, what, they'll stop you? She hid her Bible behind her back. She said, I don't want you to get in trouble. I said, no, 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 no. I've resolved, even if they fire me, I'm still going to tell you, thank you. I'm sorry. Guys, this is difficult for me, okay? Is this better? You want me to hold it like this? So anyway, she hides it behind her back. She says, I don't want you to get in trouble. And I said, no, even if I lose my job, I'm resolved to lose my job to help you. If it's just you, I'll do it. But then he gave me somebody else that asked me about her salvation. And so it wasn't just her. It's several of them. But this is so much so that God's even showing me my identity. I'm getting ahead of myself. I apologize. But he showed me my identity with another resident who said, I was talking to this preacher that came in to talk with us. I told him all about you. He says, oh, yeah, I know him. He says, yeah, he knows a lot about the Lord. He talks to me every time I come in, wands me in. He's telling me about how good God is, what God's doing for him. I said, man, that's cool. I said, my name's getting spread around, and I didn't even know it. I'm all right with that. Good or bad, man, I'm still me. I'm still blessed. So I got another story to tell you. And this one here is about a young man. And again, I'm not going to give any names, but I seen this young man, and something struck me. I was arrested by the Lord. I absolutely was. He had this this wrap on his leg, and it was really weird. He's a fit young man. He's too skinny, but still fit. Like, he was built. And he's walking around, and his legs are as big as my head. Like, they're fat and swollen. And I was, like, really struck by it. I was like, where's this guy going? So I went and followed him. Yeah, I got a big head. I know, Philip. But it's okay, because I'm good with it. Anyway, I followed him, and I found him. And I found out that this young man was a homeless man. And this young man, I wanted him to come with me. I was like, I want to feed you. He said, okay. So he starts to jump in the back of my truck. Think of that. He starts to jump in the back of my truck. I said, what are you doing, man? He said, well, get in. I said, sit up front. He said, really? I could sit up front? Why not, man? You're a person. You're not a dog I'm carrying. Get in the front. This guy didn't think that he was worthy to sit in the front seat of a truck. What's that about? Man, he must have had somebody in his life tell him that he couldn't sit up front. He must have had somebody look at him funny and say, no, can you ride in the back? I couldn't do that. And I'm going to tell you, I don't mean to say this to be down on the guy at all, but he had a funk about him. You know how it is. People don't get to shower, they're going to stink. And that funk actually lingered in my truck for about a week or so, but it was still worth it. It so was. I to this day, man, I'm still praying about this guy. I mean, I seen him recently, and he looks a lot better. Like, his legs are normal, his body's a little more heftier, and I'm believing that the Lord actually has touched this man, and I'm waiting to see more results to be continued. I'll put it that way. But this man didn't think he was worthy to get in the front seat. There we are with that worthlessness again. Somebody at some point let him think he was worthless. Do you guys ever do that? You ever let anybody think they're worthless? Please don't answer. I don't really want to know. I just want you to think about it. It might have been on accident. I promise you it might have been. You might have accidentally said something not realizing how it was. And you might have made them think something different of themselves. But that's between you guys. I don't want to know about it. I'm just giving you food for thought on that one. Has somebody ever made you feel like that? Has somebody ever made you feel like you weren't good enough? That your skin wasn't the right tone, Chad? Philip? It's only two black guys. I had to call them out. But seriously, I mean, it's our weight. It's our height. It's the things that are different. I mean, some of you got some big noses. Just putting that out there. Some of you are too tall. That's you too, Dave. What's up? But some of you, I mean, some of you wear a beard that is way too shaggy, Roger. My point is people have talked about us. We know it. We've all felt it. We've all felt the whispers behind our back. It doesn't matter. You got to know that. It doesn't matter. If you get anything out of what I say tonight, know that who God says you are, that doesn't matter. Let me make sure I clarify that. What God says you are says that what they say about you doesn't matter. And I ain't getting that out. Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby. I ain't about that life. No, but for real, all right, when you realize who God says you are, that's when you can overcome who other people have said you are. You're not worthless. You're not a waste of space. You're not less than, not just less than an animal. You're not less than somebody else. You're not less than your sister. You're not less than your brother. Middle child, you're not different than the oldest or the youngest. Well, you're not bad, okay? You're worthy. And God thought you were worthy. And we'll get to that. Because now we're onto the true identity of who you are. We're going to talk about the redeemed. Who here is redeemed? Go ahead, raise your hand. Come on now. Redeemed. That's a beautiful word. I know what I was redeemed from. I was bought out of. We got a, what was that? Galatians. So I make up these little notes and I put them in my Bible. And I think, yay, I'm going to get to my scriptures faster. No, there's way too many of them in my Bible. Okay, Galatians. Yep. 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Here we go. So this guy that we know is God, we've already talked about that, who he is. He's the Son of God. The Son of God is God. Right? We all agree? I see some heads nodding, so I'm going to move on. So this God decides that he loves us enough to break a curse from us, a curse that we had no control over, a curse that we lived in, we enjoyed it. Who didn't enjoy their sin? Come on, you ain't supposed to lie. Who didn't? That's the truth. We found pleasure in sin for a season. You know, the Bible even tells us that, so I know you guys, you all know I'm telling the truth. But he decided that we're better than that. We're better than to live in that curse. So he sent his son, who was blameless, didn't have a fault in him, and he said, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give everything I am on a cross so that you can live. Okay. That easy, right? We can't chuck that away. He bled so much for us. He gave so much for us that it washed everything and redeemed us. It completely took us. It's like flipping a coin, all right? And I don't mean up in the air. At one side, we were the tail. And then after we were redeemed, we became the head. We became a completely different figure because of what Christ did for us. We became completely renewed because of what somebody else did for us. So then we go down to a new creation, 2 Corinthians. Nope, wrong 2 Corinthians. There we go. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Remember when I told you guys that I had all these images of who I was that people put in me? Well, because I'm a new creation, a new creature in Christ, I don't have to view myself as worthless anymore or as not good enough. Now I get to view myself as something new, something brand new. So all them old feeble bones I once had, and I did. I know I'm young, but I suffered with arthritis at a young age. I use the ED at that as past tense. I suffered. I don't suffer with arthritis because I'm a new creation. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. So all those things have washed away. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. I'm a new creation. So all these little wrinkles that are forming on my head, those are brand new because I'm still a new creation. And we are called of God. Let's go to Ephesians 4:4. I got a lot of scriptures, guys. I'm just giving you a few of them. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body, one spirit, even as they are called, and one hope of our calling. We are called. We're called because God wanted us called. He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called. Who you are, when you are found of God, and when you find God, is who he wanted to find. He wasn't expecting to find Chad when he found me. He knew who I was because I was one spirit, one body, even as I was called. I was called of God that way. Not because he was looking for a Nate. Not because he was looking for a Trey. He was looking for a Jason. This Jason. The guy with the big bald spot. You know, it's what he wanted. Baffled me too, but he got it. 2 Timothy. There's 1 Timothy. There's 2 Timothy. 1:9. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, and according to our own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So here's something that's really going to amaze you. All those times that somebody called you unworthy, all them times that somebody has called you not good enough, less than, God even knew you then. He called you then. Even when at the same time. So let's say this guy's calling me unworthy. God's still calling me worthy. Even when this guy's saying I'm less than, he's saying I'm more than. Even when this person says that I'm anything, any name that is not of God, any name that has not been named by God, God's still saying, no, you're mine. I love you. I've called you. When you come and you come to that realization, know that I love you. So think about this, all right? That means even the sinner right now that's sitting in a bar wherever, I don't know where the bars are in this town, thank God. Even that sinner is still called of God. He's still called. He just hasn't got that calling yet. He even picked up the phone. That doesn't mean that he's not worthy. It doesn't make him worthless. Because he hasn't picked up the phone. He hasn't answered the calling of God. It truly just means that he's in waiting. God wants somebody to go talk to him. But wait, I'm not going to get there yet. That's way down the line. We're going to go to ordained. That's 1 Timothy. You guys don't have to turn. I know it's a lot. 1 Timothy 2:7. It says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. So I just want to focus on the ordained. You mean that I'm loved enough, so far beyond who I was told I was, that I'm ordained? I'm called, I'm ordained, I am a new creation, I'm redeemed. Man, I'm only 4 in. We got so much farther to go. I'm a son of God. This is a fun one. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Sons of God. Man, that's powerful. Who in here is a parent? You can raise your hands on that. So, I don't know. You might not have a son. You might have a daughter. It doesn't matter. I have a daughter. She's, nah, she's good. She good people. My point is that if your son or daughter called on you right now and said that they're in need of something, who's going to stop them? You going to stop them? You'll tell them, nope, wait, I can't right now. I'm busy. Wait, I can't come to your attention. I'm sorry. You're not in my wheelhouse right now. Better question. If somebody called your son or your daughter worthless, what's that do to you? Right now, what do you feel, the first feeling? Man, I don't know about you, but I feel like hitting somebody. God, I'm not going to, I promise, pastors, I'm not going to hit anybody. But I do, I feel that. I feel so much inside of me that I just want to do something. I want to protect my kid. I want her to know that I love her. I want her to know that this person's wrong. This person's not telling you the truth by saying you're worthless. I feel this way about a stranger, about this stranger that I met when she told me she was less than, that somebody let her believe that she was less than an animal. I felt like I wanted to just reach out and grab every person that tried to change her identity that way and just tell them, no, no. Of course, I had some select thoughts that were going through my head too, you know, painful thoughts. Come on, act like you don't, man, act like you don't. Somebody wants to threaten your child, you want to hurt them. Somebody wants to threaten anybody that you love and care about, you want retribution. You want justice. You want your flesh man to say okay and your spirit man to say, I don't mind, go ahead. The truth of it is we need to feel that way about strangers too. Why can't we? We're all set on this life together, right? He may have been born one way. He may have been born another way. But we're all born. We've all been given the breath of life. We've all got an anointing and a calling. We've already found out that we're called to be redeemed. That even while we were in our sin, God loved us. Even while we were still doing the stupidity that we thought we loved, God still wanted us. So why doesn't he feel that way? Why don't we feel that way about somebody else? Feel that way that I want to help them. I want to protect them. I want to keep them from dying and going to hell. Ooh, there's a big one. Sorry, guys, that was heavy. Don't you want to? Everybody's worthy of heaven. Everybody. Even the person that I want to hurt because he's wanting to hurt my child, still worthy of heaven. That's why Jesus said that we can turn the other cheek. That's why he said we should turn the other cheek, because we don't want to harm them. We want them to know that it's okay. We want them to know that there's a better way than to feel this way. There's a better way than to have hatred in your heart for somebody. It's called Jesus. It's called love. It's called joy and peace. I really thought I'd be sweating right now, but I'm not. And it's kind of freaking me out a little bit, honestly. Just, this is a heavy jacket. But we're loved, so why can't we love somebody else? Why can't we make sure that other people feel that love? And I don't know why we aren't. Again, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's later on. Fearfully made. This is a psalm. Psalm 139. Oh, I probably needed that. Psalm 139 and 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. That my soul knoweth right well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So, if I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, Chad's fearfully and wonderfully made. Nate, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Every one of you are. The guy down here at the bar, whichever way it is, also fearfully, wonderfully made. I don't know why I just stepped off the platform. Kind of freaked out a little bit. But it's true. They're fearfully and wonderfully made just like we are. They're loved just like we are. They're worthy just like we are. Do you feel worthy? I mean, there's some days you don't. I know it. There's some days I don't. I know who I was. I know who God had to call me out of. And I didn't feel worthy back then. I know who I am now. There's still times I mess up. But he still loves me. Still says I'm worthy. Still says that I am loved. Why don't we feel that way about others? Why can't we feel that way about others? We should. I try my best. There's times that I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. There's times that, you know, I don't want to get off the couch. Man, my program's just started. Man, I'm going to find out who killed this dude. I want to see it. But it's not important. Those are not the weightier things of the matter. The weightier things of the matter are getting up and going. Now, here I go again. See, I'm sorry, guys. I keep jumping ahead. I really do. But the truth of it is since you're fearfully and wonderfully made, you're special, unique, a snowflake. Not that kind of snowflake. We can be hurt. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be damaged. And it's okay to get over it. Can I say that? Philip, can I say that? I don't know. Pastor, I'm sorry. Get over it. Just we're all in this together. Man, get over the hurts and the pains and the hang-ups. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. We're all loved. We're all special. We're all unique. Man, I want his complexion. Can't get it. Want it. It just, you know, it would look better with this bald head. I just know it would. Just look at his. So, with us being fearfully and wonderfully made, don't you think God knew what he was doing? I mean, I feel like he did. If he put some fear into making me, I feel like he did a good job. If not, man, y'all in for something. All right, this part right here is where it gets heavy, all right? This is the part that I kept jumping to. Because we're also intercessors, prayer warriors. That's what we're called to be. That's our identity. Do you know that? It doesn't mean just a select few, just the five and no more, the seven and no more. It's everybody. We are all called to intercessory. I'm going to prove it to you, so don't get mad at me. It's in the Bible. I'm going to go to James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's back that up. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pastor's already stressed so many times that man there also means woman. So we ain't getting out of, it's not a get out of jail free card. We all part of this, okay? It means that we need to put our time into prayer because it's our identity. This here's a little plug. We do have, what is it on Wednesday nights, Philip, we have? Intercessory prayer, that's it. Intercessory prayer. It's pretty awesome. I'll be honest with you. I've gone to them and feel a little lonely there, gentlemen. Need some guys there. Not going to kid you. Come out. It's amazing. You lose track of time. Man, stop worrying about time. It doesn't matter anyway. God created it. He created everything. The sun will go down when it goes down. The moon will rise when it rises. You lose track of it. You lose track of everything because you're in one with God. You're in there. You're united. Who in here got Stacy? Who else has been to the prayer meetings? Please raise your hand. Holly, Stacy. I know my mom obviously has because she's doing it, but she's sick right now, so she's not here. Keep her in prayer. But they'll attest. Ask them questions. Ask them how it feels. Ask them how you feel leaving, how you feel coming in even. I mean, we enter these doors, which is amazing because next week it's out to the new building, 5 o'clock, be out there, North B Square. So, but when you enter into the building, you feel the presence of God. It's so strong. It almost wants, you want to fall over because of how strong it is. As a matter of fact, when you're praying and it's just you and God, because the other 7 people or the other 5 people have faded into the background, you're going to lose yourself because it's no longer about the person next to you. It's about you and God. And you're going to pray about things that you didn't realize God wanted you to pray about because you're an intercessory prayer. Because your identity is you're a prayer warrior. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's you. You're a prayer warrior. Each and every one of you are. Let's go on, because I know it's hard to hear. Let's go into the 1 Peter 2. I don't think that's it. So what I wrote. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3 and 4. Chapter 2, 3 and 4. Somebody else gets there before me. Just wait. I'll be there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself again with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Okay. There's a mouthful in both of those scriptures, okay? Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Take the battles on, guys. That's your identity. Your identity is to be a soldier through a battle. That means your identity is to suffer hardship, suffer pain, be hurt. Just keep going. Keep fighting through. Man up. Sorry. Man up. Get over the bad times and go forward to the good times. We have fat and we have lean seasons. I'm currently in a fat season. We have fat and lean seasons. The fat season is when everything's blessed, man. Everything's good. You know, it's okay to laugh. I'll allow it. But everything's so good that we aren't thinking about the times to pray. We're not thinking about getting into our closets. We're not thinking about opening our word. But that's more important time to go in, because we're already up. We're already up, and now it's time we can lift somebody else up. I heard a friend of mine say that their roof needed changed. Man, if only I could do something about that. Right? It's like, I'm not that guy. It's not me. It was somebody else. God, you were speaking to Nate. Nate doesn't know him, but you were speaking to him. You know, we can't do that. We're arrested because we're arrested. God wants us because he wants us. It's our job to endure and lift up the guy next to us. So, yeah, I'm putting it out there. You guys need something done, call me. Give me a call. If I got a day off of work, if I'm already out of the gym or I can put the gym off, I don't care. Call me. I'm going to go visit your husband. I'll guarantee you that. No problem. That's what we're supposed to do. We endure with one another. We lift one another up. A soldier looks out for his brother. A soldier fights for somebody else. Man, a soldier fights for somebody that doesn't even care. Wait a second. Hold on. Here we go. Let's back this up. All right. So we got this person. Let's say he's sitting in the bar right now. Let's say that he's worthless. Let's say that all these things that the devil wants to proclaim over him are being proclaimed over him. And we can rise up and do something about it. I mean, we can pray for him. We can endure for him. We can stand up and fight for him. I don't know. What are we waiting on? Wait, I think I might have got ahead again. Sorry, guys. There's more, I promise. Priests and kings, 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, got that one, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Wow. So there's a challenge for us. We're challenged to be the royal priesthood. We are. It's not just something that falls in our lap. Yeah, we are. We're called by it. God's already said we can do it. But what's he do? He's got to equip us. How does he equip us? In prayer, even fasting, lifting up one another. That's part of being a priest. That's part of doing the job of a royal priesthood, lifting one another up, going out, intercessory prayer, letting people know how worthy they are, letting people know that they're good enough. That's our job. It says it right here. I ain't lying to you, but ye are a chosen generation. That's us. This is our generation. Can't go back to the 60s. Live it up. Listen to good music. Can't do it. We're royal priesthood. Okay? It means I'm called to be a royal priest. I'm called to be a king and a priest. We're a holy nation. Feel pretty holy at times in the sense that we're not just Americans. I love my nation, don't get me wrong. I'm tried and true. Yeehaw. God bless America. That's me, I'll promise you that. But I'm more than that because I'm a sojourner here. I'm a Christian who is an American. Does that make me a Christian American? I think that does. I think I'm a Christian American. I kind of like that. Patent pending. But it does. We're a Christian nation before we're anything else. And I got some pretty good members of this nation I'm seeing right now who have the ability to be the royal priest, who have the ability to lift up as a soldier, who have the ability to intercede in one another's lives and in the lives of those that are lost. We all have that power. We have that right. It's ours. We'll get back to that. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I love praise and worship. We have a wonderful praise and worship team. Anointed, man. Like, they can take a song that one of these good Christian song that's out there, they make it better. They really do. I've heard several versions of the same song. I prefer our church. I prefer the men and women that are up here doing what they do. But that's not all that we're supposed to do. And I love them to death, I do. But we're supposed to show forth the praises of him who called us. Well, okay, I'm going to show you so that we can praise together. Why don't we get somebody else? Let's go out and find somebody else that doesn't praise with us yet. Let's get him or her to come and praise with us. Let's tell them of the praises of God. Let's tell them of the goodness of God. Let's tell them who they are. Let's share their identity with them. Let's let them know who God said they are. Just a thought. I don't know. I might be off on something here. I don't know. Anointed, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us in God. So there we go. We're anointed. We have the opportunity. We have the ability. We have the gift of God on us. We have all of this that we're supposed to do, and now we have the ability to do it. We're ambassadors. This is where it's going to hurt, guys, and I'm sorry. It really is. And I really am sorry. Not really. Not all that sorry. 5:20, 2 Corinthians. If you want to, turn there. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, ye be reconciled to God. So that there is an absolute command. It doesn't do me any good to tell you guys to be reconciled to God. I mean, it does if you need to repent. It really does. But it doesn't if you've already repented. So that actually tells me that I'm supposed to go to the other people that are not worthy, the other people that are lost, dying in their sins, the other people that nobody else wants to touch and be about. I'm supposed to go to them. We're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ to say, hey, didn't you know that somebody died for you? Didn't you know that God said you were worthy? Didn't you know that you're supposed to be more than what God, what other people have said you are? That's our calling, God. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out. We're supposed to be the church of the second mile. It's amazing, guys. We have everything given to us from our pastors. Everything that I just broke down, they've already said to us, every bit of it. They've given it to us so many times over. But it's now, it's time. It's time to go. It's time to decide that, hey, I want to care about the person that feels unworthy. I want to care about the person that feels less than. I want to care about the other people that nobody else cares about. This is our calling, guys. It's not about just sitting in here and loving the Lord, which we do. We're all good at it. I love him. I know you guys do. I love my child. I'm going to fight for her. I love you guys. I'll fight for you. I love my enemy. I'm going to fight for him or her. Depends on who really hates me at the time. So that leads me to the last point of who are others. This is everybody. Everybody's an other. You're an other. You're an other. We're all others. Because I didn't just raise up, come to this church, and decide that, hey, I'm a Christian. I didn't do that. Somebody else called me. Somebody else said, hey, why don't you come check us out? Or why don't you really consider who Christ is for you? Somebody else did that for me because I was an other. I was somebody that was lost, that was unworthy, that was dying in my sins, that thought that I was having a great time until I found out that I wasn't. Until I found out that somebody else thought that I was worthy. Do you find somebody else worthy? Is your enemy worthy? Is your neighbor worthy? Dave. No, behind you. Sorry, man. See, now we get to the next part is we sow into people's lives. It's either going to be good or bad. You're going to speak good over somebody. You're going to speak evil over somebody. Point is, you're always going to sow into somebody's life. Either you're going to edify them and build them up, or you're going to tear them down. You're going to say something wrong that's going to cause them to fall, or you're going to say something to them that's going to help them rise. We have to take control over our tongues. We have to speak goodness, not evil. It's our time, guys. Sorry, I felt like the Goonies there. Forgive me. See, we all fall prey to it. We've all negatively spoke on somebody, done it by accident. We're all guilty of it. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to yourselves. We've all done it. But we don't have to stay in that. We can repent of that. We can look at the hope of it. We can actually go that extra mile and ask that person to forgive us. If that's what God puts on your heart. Don't do something that's going to cause you danger. I don't want you to do that. But just know that we now have the opportunity to go out and help somebody else get to where we're at. Get to where we're going. Last thing I'm going to leave you on, and I know that you're happy for that. See it on your faces. Yay. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall call on him shall not die, but have everlasting life. Are you a whosoever? Are you? Our identities are solid. Either they're for Christ or they're against Christ. If you're against Christ, time to get on board. If you're for Christ, time to get on board. We all have the opportunity now to go this day forward to be a witness and a light. And this is my final plug, I promise. This Saturday, we're going out as a church to go door to door, weather permitting. If it starts raining, we might call it off, but we might just sit here and pray for them. Come out, 12 o'clock, we've been meeting here, so that we can go out and tell people how worthy they are to know who Christ is. Thank you, guys. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for all you've done. We thank you for the word that you've given me, and we thank you for the knowledge and the wisdom that you pour out. God, I just ask you to minister to the hearts of these men and women as they go forth throughout the rest of their day and through this weekend. Help them to find somebody that doesn't feel as though they're worthy, and to remind them of the love of God. I thank you for it all, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.